coming through. Hebrews chapter 11. We continue in our study this morning and arrive at verse 23 of the 11th chapter. Perhaps you've had an experience like this. It was a beautiful, beautiful night. One of those nights where you go to bed really, really tired and sleep sound as a log. Well, the blood-curdling scream shattered that silent night and shot me out of bed. I ran into my child's room and found them face to face with the enemy. They had once again been attacked in their dreams by fear. Now, fear is that monster, and anyone who has ever been chased by it and had it breathing down their neck knows the awful horror of the experience. Now, if only that monster would die when our childhood nightmares ended. But it doesn't. This monster has many masks, each one of them cruel. There's fear of failure, fear of success, fear of heights, fear of closed-in spaces, fear of accidents, fear of conflict, fear of attack, fear of death, fear of life, fear of being alone, fear of pain, fear of rejection, fear of public speaking, fear of teaching junior high, fear of criticism, fear of the dark, fear of the light, fear of financial loss, fear of sickness, fear of commitment, fear of abandonment, fear of change, and the list goes on and on and on. Now, I don't know what shape and form fear takes when it attacks you, but regardless of its form, dear friends, I have some phenomenal news for you this morning. Our fears, no matter how big and ugly, no matter how deep, no matter how strong they are, our fears can be dealt a fatal blow by faith. Examine with me this morning our passage and see how that actually happened in the lives of Moses' parents. In Hebrews 11:23 is the verse we're going to look at, but before we read it, I want to back up and give you the historical backdrop that's found in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. Listen as I read that portion, and then we'll read the Hebrews verse together. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." Then Pharaoh gave this order to all the people. "Every boy that is born to you you must throw into the river, but let every girl live." Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the river bank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." Quite a deal to get paid to nurse your own baby. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." With that backdrop, let's go to our verse this morning, Hebrews 11:23, and read it out loud together. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Lord, we ask that as we look into this historical reality that took place perhaps within miles of where we are, we ask, Lord Jesus, that the truth of it will go deep into our soul and will set us free as it did Moses' parents. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. No fear. No fear. What an incredibly wonderful way to live. Wouldn't it be awesome to go through life and all your circumstances and all your events and not have to deal with the monster of fear? Now, we're not talking about some unfounded phobias here, like being scared of your shadow. From a human standpoint, Moses' parents had every right to be fearful. Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world in that particular day, had given a very clear command. And then, as now, you don't go against the big guy in power without major consequences. They could have been publicly humiliated. They could have been largely fined. They could have been tortured, or most probably they would have been all put to death. And yet Moses' parents and the sister seem calm and confident. The scripture says they were not afraid of the king's edict. You ever wondered how you get to the place in life where you're actually not afraid? Now perhaps they went to Pharaoh's gym and worked out and got big bulgy muscles. Or perhaps Moses' dad grew a stubble beard and learned how to frown and wore a leather jacket. Maybe they all went out and bought No Fear t-shirts. You know, if only it was that easy, eh? Or huh, for you Americans? If only it was that easy to conquer our fear, then we'd all go and buy the t-shirt or the leather jacket or whatever. But it's not that easy. Our passage does, however, reveal two steps. Two simple, small, yet humongous steps that enable us to get out of the valley of fear onto the mountain of courage and confidence. Anybody interested in taking them this morning? You're dismissed. If you want to, then let's look at them first of all and see if we want to take them. The first step that gets us out of that valley of fear is this. No fear comes from believing God's word. Moses' parents knew that it was wrong to take a life, especially the life of their own child. Now, other heathen nations killed their babies. Godless people practiced forms of abortion even in that day, and euthanasia after the children were born, and sacrifice to false gods. But God's people throughout the ages have always respected the author of life by working hard to preserve life whenever and wherever it has been given. And Moses' parents were no exception. But enter Pharaoh on the scene. He disagrees with that religious perspective. For his own purposes, he wants babies killed. Now, it may have been politically correct, dear friend, but it was still morally wrong. And Moses' parents had a choice to make. And so do you and I. Now, it's not just the modern-day baby-killing issue of abortion that I'm addressing here this morning. Every single time that you and I are asked or expected to do something that goes against God's word and truth, we are in exactly the same position as Moses' parents were. The boss asks you to fudge on the figures. Your spouse or your sibling or your parent or your child or your friend asks you to cover them with a lie. Or the law says that you can't share Christ with people. Or we could go on and on. There's a million similar scenarios. When God says one thing and the world or the people around you say something else. And the reason why many, many people cave in at that point is simply because we don't know God's word. And if we do know it, then we really don't believe it. Dear friends, when we know and believe God's word, hear me, our fears dissolve and we are filled with a holy boldness and confidence. Listen to these scriptures. Psalm 56:4, David said, "In God, whose word I praise, In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Paul said in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? The author of Hebrews in 13:6 says, so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Isaiah said in 8:12, actually God said through Isaiah, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. In 41:10 he says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. You recall in the New Testament when the disciples were told that they could no longer preach in Jesus' name. They said, okay, we're sorry. We'll just go have a secret meeting. Is that what they said? No. They said, we must obey God rather than man. And they went out and continued to preach His name, and they suffered for it. They were persecuted. They were thrown into prison and punished. But the Scripture says that they bore their punishment with joy, and after that they went out with even greater boldness and continued to proclaim Christ. I find that interesting. Dear friends, when someone has no fear, they cannot be controlled. They cannot be manipulated. They cannot be contained. In other words, they are free. Free. And incidentally, that's how God designed you and me to be. And that's why Jesus died for us, was to set us absolutely free. And Paul said, do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. If Christ has set you free, stand firm, stand steadfast in that freedom which He bought for you. Moses' parents feared Pharaoh so little because they feared God so much. And throughout the ages, even today, the people who know and believe God's word are enabled to live in the midst of a fear-filled world with no fear. No fear. Now there's a second step. No fear comes from believing God's word, and no fear comes from perceiving God's work. The verse says, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw, they perceived that he was no ordinary child. Now that sounds like every parent I know. Most of us look at our kids and think, oh, this guy's going to shake the world. But this is not the kind of perception that comes to every parent. I know every baby that's born, we say, oh, look at this wonderful child. And then they are, but you know what? I'm a pastor. I've been around a lot of babies. And, well, I got to be careful what I say here. Let me quote another pastor. Another pastor said, you know, he said, I have to be honest. Everybody, oh, isn't he cute? Isn't she wonderful? Oh, look at what a doll. And he said, quite frankly, some of them were as ugly as a hound dog, you know. I wouldn't say that. He was saying that. And he said, he determined that the only honest thing he could say was, my, that sure is a baby. Well, every parent has a very positive perception of their child, and rightfully so. Rightfully so. But Moses' parents saw something else. The word here used for seeing is not just to see with the eyes. Because all of us have eyes, but not all of us see what God intends us to see. Of course they were proud for their little boy, and they thought he was the greatest. But somehow they were perceiving something much deeper and something far more profound. The word here gives that almost a telescopic view that they had. They were able to perceive, to discern, to understand something about God's hand on the life of this child that others were not able to perceive. Now some suggest that Moses as a baby had a unique skin color or special facial features which the Egyptians of that day associated with the gods. I'm not sure. it was anything physical. As a matter of fact, I would disagree with that position. The text in Exodus tells us that when Pharaoh's daughter realized, saw him in the basket in the Nile, she immediately perceived him that he was a Hebrew baby. So there was really no mistaken identity there. So what was it that made him such an extraordinary child? We're not told. All we know is that Moses' parents had a clear sense in their heart that God had a special plan for this child. Not the general truth that God has a special plan for all of His children, because that is true, but somehow God had communicated to their heart that God had a specific plan for this child. And as a result, because of that God-given insight, because God had applied His word to their heart and they believed it, they were now acting on it. For those of you who've been around for the series, does that sound strangely familiar to the theme of faith that we've been talking about? To a description of faith that we've been talking about? Faith is when we have God's word applied to our hearts and we believe it and we act on it. That's faith. And that's exactly what Moses and his, not Moses, Moses' parents were doing in this case. Someone once said that the key to success in ministry, if you're going to be a Christian and if you want to be a vessel through that God can use, the key to success is to simply find out what God is about to do and line up with it. Because if you're lining up with what God is going to do, obviously you're going to be in the path of His blessing. That is true. And when we regularly read and heed God's Word, when we regularly get a sense from the Word as to what God is going to do, when we allow the Spirit of God to take His Word and apply it regularly to our lives, guess what, friends? He gives us insight. He gives us perception that is more than what the eyes can see. That is more than what you get from a casual, cursive reading of the Scripture. The Spirit of God opens it up, gives you the insight, and makes your heart want to say, yes, I'll buy into that. God, that's where you're going. I want to go with you. And dear friends, when you combine these two, believing God's Word and perceiving God's work, and then you line your life up with it, guess what? No fear. No fear, because you are teaming up with the Almighty God of the universe, who has declared before it began what He wants to do. By His Spirit, He's planted it in your heart, given you the desire to believe Him and the desire to obey Him and follow Him. And when you walk with the God who has plans, dear friend, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? I've told you before, my dad only had grade 5 education. His English wasn't all that great, but he used to say, me and God, we're a majority. I love it. Me and God, doesn't matter who stands against me. If I'm on God's side, we're a majority. So line your life up, perceive what God is about to do, and then line your life up with it. I wish we had time here this morning to explore all kinds of examples and illustrations. I could give you myriads of them from my life, from other people's lives, from history. But the lesson here, dear friends, is this. Whenever we, like Moses' parents, act in faith, whenever we respond to the prompting of the Spirit, whenever we take the risks and believe God instead of believing the world, whenever we act on what God has declared, we release the stranglehold of fear. And we walk away free men and women, free young people, absolutely free, fully confident, freedom for our hearts, freedom for our mind, freedom, no fear. When we look at that story, we see not only was the baby miraculously saved, not only did God carry out His plan, and not only do we see His blessings multiply in ways that we couldn't comprehend, but for those who choose to walk in faith, for those who choose to believe God's Word and let His Spirit apply it to their hearts so they perceive God's work, for those people who choose to line up with what God is doing, dear friends, there is no fear. Because faith demolishes fear. Do you hear it? Do you hear it this morning? No fear. My only response is, hallelujah. Join me in prayer. Lord, we confess to you how easy it is to be bound by so many different kinds of fear in our life. Fear that keeps us from knowing you. Fear that keeps us from serving you. Fear that keeps us from obeying you. Fear that keeps us from knowing your blessing. Fear that keeps us from stepping out of our comfort zones to attempt new things which would open up whole new dimensions in our life and ministry. Oh God, we confess to you our fear and our lack of willingness to trust you. But this morning, Lord, we ask that you'll move us beyond the confession stage. We ask that you'll move us into the realm where we can walk with you, as Moses' parents did, with no fear. Where we no longer have to fear the king's edict. We no longer have to fear the manipulations and machinations of ungodly people or systems. Where we no longer have to worry about what men and human beings and systems and organizations will do to us. Where we no longer have to worry about financial institutions or what's going to happen in the future. But when we commit our lives to you, we can walk confidently with no fear. Oh God, help us walk with you that way. Oh God, move us into that stage where we're willing to hear your word and believe it for what it is. Where we're willing to take you at your word. Where we're willing to have your spirit planted in our hearts and open our eyes to perceive what it is you want to do so that we can walk with you. Lord Jesus, I pray for every brother and sister here this morning and for those who may hear this later, that you will, by the hearing of your word, cause this to go deep into our soul and produce the fruit for which you sent it. Make your people, Lord, absolutely free. Set them free from fear, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow.